As Guy said, I am the CTO for Media Entertainment and MarkLogic, and we'll get into that. But I'm going to talk about data security and the hard outer shell. And at this point in this kind of presentation, I want you to know that there's some dramatic foreshadowing. So hard outer shell is this dramatic foreshadowing, and then we'll come back to it, all right? So, but first I want to talk about MarkLogic. I got it to work. Okay, I'll remember over there. So we are a database company. We are very, very interested in security, being a database company. But we're also interested in making sure that people can get access to the data. And so it's something that's constantly a battle between in organizations, because you want people to have flexibility, you want them to be able to get to the data they need, but you need to make sure that it's secure. So MarkLogic is part of a new generation of databases, and we're really, from the start, been focused on enterprise use cases for these new generation databases. We're probably the only enterprise NoSQL database, and we can get there because not only can we make it easy to bring data together, also make it easy to access the data, but that those enterprise features have been there from the start. Things like data integrity with transactions and full security. And right from the start, our customers took advantage of these features. Oh, that didn't work. All right, sorry. It's not working. I'm doing the right way. That was backwards.
They have actually pushed the...
All right, guys. I am pushing just that one. Thank you. Well, we'll see if we make it work. Right from the start, our customers took advantage of this flexibility to manage the data, but make sure it was secure in a lot... Sorry, some of our first customers were in the information industries. People like Dow Jones, Factiva, LexisNexis, Advanced Products are all MarkLogic based. And this... There are way too many builds. Yeah. Also among our first customers were intelligence agencies and defense customers. And these two customers may not seem to have a lot in common, but it turns out they really do. Thank you. Now, I brought this on myself by doing a whole bunch of builds. In the information industry, it's all about bringing together lots of different types of data and getting meaning and putting that meaning in front of your customer. So somebody from Dow Jones Factiva might be in a bank, and they're looking for answers from the data. Actually, the same thing is true in the intelligence agencies. So we run a lot of Defense Department and intelligence agency systems that are geared towards analysts who are trying to synthesize data, and in some cases, we do some things called asset protection for the government. Assets mean people, and protection means understanding the full data picture around that person in a given situation. So you need a great deal of flexibility to bring in the information from location, the whole scenario around it, but at the same time, you need to make sure, of course, on the intelligence side, that it's a secure environment. And that's pretty obvious when I start talking about work we do on intelligence and defense, but it's also true on the information side. The information industries, the media industries, really begin, when you begin to value data as your product, you also need the security. So we've always been focused on providing this flexibility of the data, making sure people can access it, but also making sure the security is there at the data side. So database company focused on this big picture, and from that security side, we have been doing a lot of work, obviously, with the intelligence agencies on security and thinking about the evolving threats. So if you've been dropping in on this pavilion, you've heard a lot of these themes. The first theme is that the sophistication of the potential threats is growing every day. So that's a line from Shelley Palmer. He gave a breakfast yesterday, and his line is, there are only two kind of companies. Those that have been hacked, and those that don't know that they have been hacked. And that statement, I know, is very true. It also just talks about the capabilities that are out there in the threat arena. Every day, the threats grow, and with our customer base, especially on the intelligence side, you might expect those threats, but actually on the information and media side, you get the same thing. We work for organizations like the IEEE, which is if you guys are here at the broadcast, you probably know what IEEE is. In addition to supporting a lot of the standards that run broadcasting, they support and publish all the nuclear journals. And they're not just facing amateur or individual threats, they're facing government cyber threats every day. So that statement is very true. Those that have been hacked are those that don't know it. But there's another threat, which is the fact that the workplace and the kind of work you do is also rapidly evolving. Bringing your own device, partnerships with external entities, a diverse, very, very widespread workplace that's using and looking at all this data means that all of a sudden your traditional approach to security won't stand up. And the last one is interesting for me because I didn't really realize this. In many industries, and this stat is from the financial services industry, the insider threat is a growing presence. Something like 46% of all bank breaches are actually insider jobs. And when you're talking about that, you're not talking about particularly damaging threats because they know where the valuable information is, and they also know where the security vulnerabilities are. So now you've got a real problem where you not only have this whole changing landscape of people approaching it externally with threats, your people are out there using the data in a diverse way, and the potential for insiders to be part of it. So this threat landscape means that you have to think again about your approach to doing cybersecurity. And the current approach is largely can be largely summed up as focusing on the perimeter, guarding the perimeter. This is all about taking a look at the network security and creating a boundary in the network security between what you have and other things. It's all outwardly focusing. You're thinking about threats that are external, and you're monitoring that threat boundary, and you're forced in the situation to create barriers. And as you can kind of talk about, with the changing threat environment, this is not as viable as it was. It's not ignore the perimeter, but you need to think beyond it. And when I think about this, when I think about the changing nature of the threats, people's capabilities, when I think about the changing workplace where in fact, that boundary is very hard to enforce in a very complex work environment, and the fact that insiders are there, I think about a metaphor that I gave the dramatic foreshadowing for, which is about the hard outer shell. So a couple weeks ago, we had Easter, and everybody knows about the Cadbury cream egg, right? All right, so Cadbury cream egg, Easter candy that has a chocolate hard outer shell. And if you're focused on the perimeter, pretty good metaphor, because if you can break open the hard outer shell, you can get all the gooey inside. And that's my metaphor for this kind of perimeter thinking. The hard outer shell is just not going to make it, because once you break it open, it's all available. All right, cybersecurity people are really serious. That's funny. Just in case you knew. All right, so to illustrate this, I'm going to talk about some things we've done in the media entertainment world. So this is this graphic that defeats transference. So there's actually supposed to be a picture of a movie poster. But we got involved with an experimental film called The Suitcase. It's actually at the Tribeca Film Festival this week. So go Suitcase. But it was part of the ETC that talked about using data in production and talked about the current environment in production. So we focused in this film on the data flows that take place in a modern cloud production environment. And I want to use this as an example for what can go wrong with a hard outer shell. So if you look at a traditional environment, and this is an example of a modern production environment, so on the left-hand side are all the different tools that are on the set, on the right-hand side are all the editorial tools, and then there are a couple tools to integrate and aggregate the data. And you can see, if you're looking at this, where do I go with the perimeter? Where do I seal this off? Do I go in and try to take all the cloud tools that people are entering data into and sharing it forth? Turn it back and forth. Things like the synchronize or the scripties. Or, you know, maybe the easy thing to do is to just wall off the enterprise version of it, you know, the source data. But you can see right away this isn't going to work because people need access to the data. People working on the script, people working on the scheduling and the wardrobe need to see the contract data. And they're going to pull it back out and they're going to immediately start sharing it in a very unsafe environment. Okay, well, how about that? Maybe I put the whole thing, make the perimeter the whole new environment of production. Wall it off. And we know that's not going to work because people want to use the tools they have. They want to use their own devices. They want to use cloud tools that you didn't even know they're invented. And they're not going to go through a separate step to be on an isolated network to treat this as you would a real secure environment. You can do this in some instances. I mentioned intelligence agencies. We work with the Defense Department. When they drop soldiers on the ground with their critical data, they're able to wall it off like this. But this is not going to work in a modern, dynamic workplace. And it really won't work across our organization. Because that workflow is just one. It's not just one of three. It's one of potentially hundreds across the organization. And those enterprise systems are not just one or two. They're one of potentially hundreds. And then they're potentially thousands of endpoints of people accessing and sharing information. And when you look at this kind of complexity in any modern organization, you have a real problem thinking about a barrier that could go around all of it and contain it all. So what are you going to do? Well, that's the dramatic foreshadowing about the hard outer shell is you need to rethink that whole approach. And one of the first steps is to talk about situational awareness. So from the cybersecurity world, from the guys that have been doing this for a while, they've taken the approach that, okay, we probably are facing multiple threats. We're probably facing multiple threats and misuses throughout our organization. We need to take a step back. But today, when you talk about situational awareness, it's still largely focused on supporting the perimeter. Talking about looking at log files, looking at activities, making sure you have all your systems at that perimeter up to date. All of that coordinated, but it's still very narrowly focused on understanding what might have happened, the status of it, and then looking at reports later. It's not yet a real-time environment. And what we're seeing develop, first from our intelligence agency customers, but now from some of our really advanced commercial customers, is adopting something called cyber situational awareness. This is actually taking a full look at the whole organization and actually understanding the systems, the data, the people, the kind of access they have, and most importantly, their patterns of usage. So if somebody has access to a critical secure system with very sensitive data, you need to know that. You need to know what the system is, you need to know what its patch level is, you need to know all the software versions that are on that critical system. But more importantly, you need to know what's typical for that access. Because once you start gathering that information, then you can, in real time, start to spot anomalies. So the whole idea of you're looking at threats inside your perimeter and trying to wall it off becomes possible when you're doing this. Now what's interesting, and I'm going to come back to original idea, but we're a database company, is that you can get this view with data from your security systems and your operational systems that you put in place. There's no single system that has this, and so what you end up with is a data hub for situational awareness. Now this is really, really small type, and you guys can't see all the acronyms, so I'm gonna just run through some of the ideas here. The idea is that it's not just about having your information event management system. It's not just that you have your security operations or your deep packet inspection systems. It's that that's mixed with your operational systems. What is the configuration of these systems? What are we up to date? And not only that, it's mixed with all the information coming into the organization about the status of those systems, vendor bulletins, latest patches. All this information actually is data that can be integrated. And then, instead of having your emergency readiness team or your analysis center go and look across all these systems, they can actually look at that as data. And you can start to think about trend analysis. You can start to think about setting barriers and setting alerts and actually being able to respond. So this is really a big picture approach to taking a look at your assets within your organization and understanding with data what's happening. And that's kind of the first big picture step to looking beyond just the perimeter. The second big picture step is simply secure the data itself. So if you can identify secure critical data, secure the data itself, but still allow flexible access to it. And that's the key. If you go into an approach where you're identifying critical data, but it's so rigid that no one can use it, everybody will get around it. So I'm gonna go back to film production again and give you an example. So this is an add-on. So we did the work with the ETC on that film production, and we did another work with New Regency, and we took a look at the same kind of tool sets, scheduling systems, contract systems, but you'll notice there's a little bit more financial information here. There's the accounting system, there's the contract management system, and in the current environment, there isn't a single place that people can get access to this data, and there's no place that it's secure. People in this environment are taking contracts out of the contract system and emailing them to other people. For instance, they're emailing the contract to the travel. And they need to know what's in the contract. The travel people need to know what's in the contract, but the whole contract is shared and that includes all the financial information. And that's just one example of multiple security problems in this kind of environment. So if you can actually identify this kind of situation, you can, like we did with this pilot that we worked on with Microsoft and Avanade, you can actually integrate the data and then have the systems share and access the data from a single point. So there's a lot going on. This is about, you know, taking things like contract luggage and sync on set, taking all that data into a single layer, but then having the other systems talk directly to it. So I'm actually able to integrate the data so people don't have to share it sideways, but I'm doing it in a system that allows flexible enough access to actually make good on the concept. Because if you do this and you only let them get to some of the data, someone will eventually go out and go around you. And that's where we come in. So MarkLogic's a database software company. We've always been focused on making sure you can flexibly bring the data together and enable access to it. And the last point is the important one. Oops. Do it with security. And when we talk about the kind of security you need, that's where we've been focused as a product team. So we do a lot of work on the flexible access and the flexible data integration. But we've always actually had the security features to use roles, users' roles, something called compartmental security. If you're in security, you know what I mean. But the additional rights and grants that users and roles have are applied to data, documents, and sub-documents. So you can identify any entity in the database, even if it's part of a bigger set of data, and put a very sophisticated access rule on it. I can very quickly go into a lot of intelligence agency work that exemplifies this, where people are looking at redacted or super secret or secret. So there's one document that has all of those different labels on it. And depending on the viewer, you're going to get a different view. But now we're starting to apply it in these commercial businesses. Starting to apply it, like, for instance, to contracts, where simple rules would establish that financial data does not go out of the system to somebody that's not supposed to have access to financial data. We've also done a lot of work with the data itself. Again, the whole concept of, you know, you can just protect the network isn't really holding up anymore. And if somebody can get into your network and they can go to your weakest point, maybe it's a file system, it's not going to do you a lot of good if you have a sophisticated database, unless you're able to do encryption. So we have encryption at rest, but we've taken it even further, which is encryption during the actual processing. So in transit, in MarkLogic, all the data is encrypted until the moment it's delivered to the user who actually had authority to make that request. And you put these two things together, and you have a very, very, very robust and secure system that's actually able to deliver the flexibility of the data. MarkLogic is one of six databases in the world that's Common Criteria certified. We're the only NoSQL database that's actually Common Criteria certified. And that is what I wanted to talk about, because if you look at this notion, just protecting perimeter, you're probably going to, you know, continue to focus. You need to focus on that, but you need to augment it with other approaches. And that's my whole goal here, was to keep it so that you guys don't just think about the hard outer shell, so somebody can just break open and get to all the GUI inside. So there you go, my great graphic. Oh, that was a little better, almost a chuckle. Sorry. But more than that, that you can take some of the lessons from a lot of our customers in security, in information, in intelligence, in defense, and get the flexibility you need, but also have the security you need as you're working with data in the media entertainment world. So, thanks.
Matt Turner, hey, you got a minute for a question? You got a Q&A? Mike,
go ahead.
Just pick one and go for it. You want a little Q&A? Are you the plan?
I don't know.
Two questions? Did you have a question, sir? Or are you just scratching your head? It's almost like you're an auction person. All right, sorry, he just bid $145 on his plans.
You mentioned encryption on data at rest. One of the challenges that we have in the industry is, you know, large data files and encrypting those files and impacting the production workflow. So I'd be interested to hear how you've kind of worked around that sort of thing.
So we haven't worked around it. You have to do the work to encrypt it. We are talking about data, not full video files. We're talking about the data assets themselves. But no, we expect, I mean, some of our intelligence databases are hundreds of terabytes, and they're going to be encrypted, and that's then the effort and the CPU that goes towards that is going to be valued by, you know, having the protection. So, yeah, there's no secret sauce there. I thought you were going to ask me a question about keys. Thank God. Anybody else?
Another question?
I've got two questions.
Thank you, Dave.
My first question is, there's lots of third-party software tools for NoSQL database. Are you saying that if I use MarkLogic NoSQL database, I don't need one of those third-party security tools?
So, no. Because so the world of next-generation databases didn't start with the mindset of replacing Oracle. And MarkLogic has always had the feature set that a real enterprise relational database has. So you're not having to add on security to a Cassandra or, you know, some set of technologies that give you flexibility. You're actually able to take the system as it is with security built in.
So I don't have to buy Vormetric or tools like that to secure my database?
Not at the database level.
Okay.
You still need cybersecurity tools.
Got it.
Get me wrong.
Then my other question is, does MarkLogic have any security monitoring? Or what's the recommended monitoring tool used to make sure that you indeed are, you're monitoring the security of your database?
The database itself integrates with modern, you actually have me on the monitoring tool set. But we integrate with a modern the modern monitoring tool set you expect in a network operations. And that's pretty straightforward because you're looking at the health of the database and the access of the database and the reporting. What's interesting, if you go back to the cyber situational awareness, is that is one of the outputs you need to look at, which is not just what your database is doing, but who's accessing the application and who's going up the stack.
Any other questions for Matt before we move on? All right. Thank you so much. Matt Turner, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.